blessing, Father.
And may the Lord be in your heart and on your lips that you may proclaim the gospel. Worthy and well.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
On this 34th and last Sunday in ordinary time, we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. In the early days after the death of King Saul, the 10 tribes of the north had a son of Saul as their king, while the 2 southern tribes had David as their king. And after the death of Saul's son, all the tribes of Israel unite under David as their king. And we hear about that in today's first reading. We also become aware of the fact that there are 2 books of Samuel, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and they present the hereditary monarchy from David onwards as a system of government that God desired for his people. If we remember our biblical history, the people wanted a king, and God, through the prophet, is to tell the people that God is their king. And they continue to sort of dig in their heels, and so eventually God allows them to have a king. And Saul is the one who is selected, and he is anointed the king. what he has found wanting in the eyes of God. And so when we get to the books of Samuel, we hear about a young boy who is one of eight sons of a man named Jesse who lives in Bethlehem. And Samuel is sent to Jesse to do the bidding of God. And when Samuel arrives there, he finds out that Jesse has eight sons. And when he looks at the first one, who is rather tall and at least according to Samuel's thinking, that this is the one. And God tells him, nope, it's not that guy. And so then the second son, and then the third, the fourth. All of the sons, with the exception of David, are presented to Samuel. And so Samuel says, do you have any other sons? And they said, well, just the youngest, who is out tending the sheep. And so Jesse says, well, we will not continue until he arrives. And so they send for David, who is a youngster, ruddy in appearance. And when he appears, Samuel hears the Lord say, here, he is the one, anoint him. And so Samuel takes the horn of oil and he anoints David in the midst of his brothers. And we are told that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So David was certainly God's chosen one. We hear in that first reading from this morning that we are all your flesh and bone. In other words, even though they are the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they are all related. And so David becomes the king, and I think we're familiar with David when he slew Goliath, sort of the big, heavy set, muscular member of the Philistines who had been taunting them, that David runs down to do battle with him. And while the Goliath has all of his fighting outfit on, David felt very uncomfortable trying to wear armor, and so he takes it off and he picks five stones from the water, put them in his bag on his belt, and as he's running toward Goliath, he reaches in the bag, pulls out a stone, puts it in his sling, bang, hits Goliath in the forehead, which knocks him out. So David goes to him, takes Goliath's sword, and then cuts his head off. And so David becomes everybody's favorite, because he would lead them into battle and David would be successful. On the way back, I guess, to Jerusalem, people would cry out and sing and make merry, and they would say, you know, blessed King Saul for his thousands, and blessed be David for his ten thousands. In other words, David was quite victorious in his battles. And King Saul took exception to that became extremely jealous of David and actually even threw a spear at him as David was sitting and resting. And David knew what was going on, and so he separates himself. Although David was good friends of Saul's son named Jonathan. And so enough about David. Our second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, and it is really a beautiful hymn that comes down to us. And it depicts our Lord Jesus as being an icon of the Father. An icon would be a picture, and it was considered to be a representation of whatever was drawn on that piece of wood. That Jesus is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. Yeah, so writes Paul in his letter. And the gospel is taken from St. Luke, and it is the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And Jesus is acknowledged as a king, and it says so on the cross above him, King of the Jews. So he is a king, and his kingdom is not of this world, he tells Pilate. He does not wear a crown of gold, but rather a crown of thorns. He was not born in a palace, but rather, as we know, in this manger. And while he is hanging on the cross, he is ridiculed and mocked by some of the bystanders. We might note that Luke is the only gospel that refers to a good thief, the one who defends our Lord Jesus. And this is typical of St. Luke, for Jesus had come to save those who were lost and those who were most in need of God's love. Jesus forgives that good thief, and he invites him to be with him in paradise that very day. We are given the feast of Christ the King, I think, to remind us of who it is that we honor and that we adore, our Lord Jesus, and think about his kingship, of what he endured, and think about when he comes again in his glory, as opposed to when he came the first time. And so maybe to look at our relationship with our Lord and to reflect upon it and where we go from here. And so as a church, we honor the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ the King, and we pray that our relationship with the King will be a good one, a good holy one, and one in which we grow in likeness of our Lord Jesus.